Recording in progress.
All right, and we can kick it off when you're ready.
Great. Well, thank you, Haley. Thanks to the State Party for organizing this. I am Josh Call. I want to thank you all for joining us today. And the reason that I want to speak to folks today was to respond to some of the discussion that we've seen recently in the discourse regarding the state Supreme Court race. As a lot of you know, I ran against Brad Schimel in 2018 and defeated him when I was first elected Attorney General. And there's been a lot of discussion during the course of the current state Supreme Court race about some of the topics that were discussed then, including Brad Schimel's record as Attorney General, and in particular, his handling of a backlog of thousands of untested sexual assault kits. I thought it was important, given some of the comments that we have seen, to set the record straight on some of the issues that have been discussed. So first, I just want to highlight that in 2018, there was only one incumbent attorney general in the country who was defeated. That was Brad Schimel. And he was defeated in part because he had a failed record as Wisconsin attorney general. Now he's trying to rewrite that history. And it's been several years, so folks haven't seen the headlines about Brad Schimel's failed record recently like they had when the 2018 election happened. So I want to speak out and make sure that we're setting the record straight. The reality is that as Attorney General, Brad Schimel had an abysmal record on issues that were critical to Wisconsinites. And yet he was essentially on speed dial for special interests. Now, one of the issues that has come up in this race and that came up in the 2018 election is the backlog of untested sexual assault kits. And I think it's important for folks to know the context for this. In 2014, J.B. Van Hollen, when he was in his last year as Attorney General, his administration did a survey, and they identified thousands of previously untested sexual assault kits. Again, that was 2014. So the next year, Brad Schimel came into office with this information that there were thousands of untested sexual assault kits. And what the record shows is that Brad Schimel failed to respond with urgency. His administration tested just 9 of the thousands of backlog kits in his first 2 years in office. Now, Brad Schimel has been spinning this issue really since it occurred, but he continues to spin it to this day. But I want to highlight that fact because this is a fact that Brad Schimel does not and cannot dispute. In his first 2 years in office, just 9 of the thousands of backlog kits were tested. And it's not that he couldn't have tested those kits more quickly. In 2 other places, Portland and the state of Nevada, Those locations received grant funding right around the same time as Wisconsin, and they tested kits much more quickly in those first few years. And I encourage those reporters who are on the line to go back to the news articles from that time. And you can see that Brad Schimel simply was not focused on the details of this issue. In early 2017, for example, at one point, Schimel said that a few hundred kits had been tested. But a couple days later, his administration had to acknowledge that the number was not a couple hundred, it was 9 kits that had been tested. Brad Schimel said that this was not a backlog. PolitiFact reviewed that claim and they rated that claim pants on fire. And they pointed to a letter from Brad Schimel himself that had referred to this as a backlog. Then in May of 2017, Brad Schimel was unable to verify the number of tested backlog kits that his office had given out. His office had told the press that 63 kits had been tested. And a reporter asked Schimel about the number that only 60 kits had been tested. And Schimel said he didn't know where that number came from. His office then tried to spin that, saying that he was being very precise and was confused about 63 versus 60. But it's part of a pattern that we saw with Brad Schimel of not even knowing the details of this significant issue. At that point, more than 2 years into his term as Attorney General. So when I got into the AG's race, which was in April of 2017, fewer than 100 of those thousands of backlog kits had been tested. Now, testing did finally start picking up amid that campaign. But even with the progress that was finally made, Schimel claimed in 2018 that he had gotten that mission accomplished, because the kits were finally tested. But even then, he really misunderstood why this work was so important. For one thing, while Schimmel had said all the kits were tested, he had not disclosed publicly that there were about 300 kits that remained to be tested. I acknowledge that those were different types of kits. Those were kits in cases where there were convictions. But Schimmel didn't inform the public that he was leaving behind work to be done with 300 more kits to be tested. But far more importantly, the reason for testing these kits wasn't just to test them, it was so that follow-up could happen in the cases where testing occurred. So when Schimmel left office, there were hundreds of cases left behind to be reviewed. Now, I'm proud that my administration worked through those cases, and we worked to get information to law enforcement where appropriate. But that's work that Brad Schimmel left behind and wasn't completed when he left office. Brad Schimmel also didn't accomplish any legislative to prevent a future backlog of sexual assault kits. And it's not because he didn't have the opportunity. There was a Republican legislative majority and a Republican governor. But Brad Schimmel didn't propose reforms to our sexual assault kit laws until shortly before the 2018 election. So again, he left that work for us to do. Now, fortunately, I did advocate for changes in the law, and Governor Evers was ultimately able to sign those into law. But again, on this issue, Brad Schimmel didn't deliver for the people of Wisconsin. And it's not just sexual assault kits where this issue has arisen. Another great example is holding pharmaceutical companies accountable for their role in the opioid epidemic. Schimmel never filed suit against Purdue Pharma, the company that we've alleged was largely responsible for ushering in the opioid epidemic. Within several months of my taking office, we had filed suit. Brad Schimmel also didn't have Wisconsin join an investigation into opioid distributors. Again, within several months of my taking office, we joined that investigation. That has now been resolved, and there are hundreds of millions of dollars coming to Wisconsin because of the resolution with those opioid distributors. So again, on that issue, Brad Schimmel did not deliver for Wisconsinites. But it's not because he wasn't doing anything. He was delivering for special interests. He created a Solicitor General's office with taxpayer money early on in his tenure, and that office got the Wisconsin Department of Justice involved in a variety of highly partisan litigation. One of the cases that office got involved in was a suit that tried to take healthcare away from millions of Americans and eliminate protections for people with a pre-existing condition by trying to end the Affordable Care Act, a lawsuit that my administration ultimately withdrew from. Brad Schimmel also put out an opinion that barred the DNR from considering the cumulative impacts of high-capacity wells, which was a great benefit to corporate farms that wanted to use water from those wells, but not to the other folks who wanted to use that water. My administration withdrew that opinion. It ultimately went to the state Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court ruled against the position Schimmel had taken 4-2 with Justice Ziegler in the majority. Likewise, Brad Schimmel put out an opinion that prevented DSPS, a state agency, from enforcing a rule that required that fire sprinklers be installed on a number of residences where there were four or more different residences within a building. We withdrew that opinion, and it hasn't even been challenged since then. And when we withdrew that opinion, fire chiefs, a handful of fire chiefs in the state were clear that that was going to help save lives. But Brad Schimmel took the opposite position. Schimmel said he was proud that there was a case called Planned Parenthood versus Schimmel. And at one point, he went to Mar-a-Lago for a conference. And another point, he went to a fancy resort in California for a conference with Alliance Defending Freedom. So as I said earlier, Brad Schimmel had a poor record on critical issues impacting Wisconsinites, but he was essentially on speed dial for special interests. I think those facts are critical for Wisconsinites to know with a key state's Supreme Court election coming up. Of course, we've seen Elon Musk put huge amounts of monies into that campaign in support of Brad Schimmel's candidacy. And I think it's vital that Wisconsinites know about this record and know how important it is that we have a justice on the court who is going to decide cases fairly based on the facts and the law, and not be somebody who has consistently taken the side of special interests and failed to stand up for Wisconsinites where we need it. So with that, I'm happy to open up to questions. I see Todd's hand up, but I can't hear him.
Josh, can you hear me?
Yep, can now.
So There's a big difference between being the AG and being a Supreme Court justice. Really, what does any thing with the sexual assault case have to do with being a justice on the Supreme Court?
Well, I think there are a couple of things I would say. First of all, Brad Shimla has been spinning this record. And I think one thing we need from our justices is for people to be straightforward with Wisconsinites about the reality. Now, Brad Shimla has tried to reframe his record of botching these kits as somehow a success story. I think Wisconsinites want somebody who's going to be candid with them about where they've succeeded and where they've failed. But instead, Brad Shimla is trying to spin his record. The other thing is what we saw in, we talked about this in 2018, and I'm talking about it today, is being quick to stand up for special interests, but failing to stand up for the interests of Wisconsinites. And justices will have cases where they may make a decision that might impact a special interest, or they might impact the people of Wisconsin. We need people to make those decisions based on the facts and the law. And take the high capacity well opinion. I mean, that's a time where the AG is issuing an opinion that's meant to reflect the state of the law. According to four of the six justices who weighed in on that case, including Justice Ziegler, Brad Shimla got it wrong on that issue. He took the side of the special interests over the side of protecting our water in Wisconsin. And I think that's relevant for folks. I see Zach Schultz.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
There's a discrepancy in the numbers that we see a lot concerning the backlog. 6,800 kits in the backlog, 4,100 that were tested. I understand that 2,000 plus discrepancy, some of those were cases that were already adjudicated, some were found to be unverified. How many of those remained all the way through up to current date that never did get tested? And is that for certain they will never be tested, or is there still a chance some of those could go back to see if there was a serial rapist or something else involved beyond the scope of that particular case?
Yeah, Zach, I want to speak to the numbers, but I also want to make a second point. So let me start with the numbers. As I mentioned, there were over 6,000 kits that had gone untested in Wisconsin that had accumulated in evidence locker rooms and hospitals around the state for a number of years. And in 2014, J.B. Van Hollen completed a survey where he provided information about that. There was then further analysis done, but there were over 6,000 kits. Now, what Wisconsin DOJ did was they tested only the kits where there was consent from the survivor to test them. They took a victim-centric approach, and I agree with that approach. I think we should only be testing kits when the survivor wants to test them. That basic principle has actually been now codified into Wisconsin law, because under current law, if a survivor doesn't consent, the kits are stored at the crime labs for a period of up to 10 years. Now, if at some point the survivor does consent to the testing of that kit, they will be tested. But this gives survivors control over the process. But I do think it's important to emphasize that I know that part of the spin that Brad Shimla has put into place is going into the details on these numbers and talking about which kits should be tested and which ones shouldn't be. Those are legitimate, appropriate debates to have. But the criticism about Brad Shimla's record as AG with the testing of the kits is not about that issue at all. It's about the fact that in over 2 years, his administration only tested nine of the backlogged kits. That's just inexcusable. It is an abysmal record. And again, at the same time, he was prioritizing issues like developing the Solicitor General's office to engage in partisan litigation. Todd?
Yeah, Josh, piggybacking on Zach's question, we almost got there, but we didn't quite get there. So there's 6,800 in the backlog. When Schimmel said it was done, it was 4,100. And you say that there were several hundred more that you found untested when you came into office. Is that correct? Because I know in November 2019, you said it was done.
Yeah,
Almost,
so
yeah,
first of
more than a
all,
year later.
Todd, I remember you and I spoke about that in 2019. So here's the deal, and you can go on the website and find this information, but there were over 6,000 kits that were identified. Now, of those, 4,000 and some were cases where the survivor had consented to having the kits tested. And so Shimmel, shortly before the 2018 election, announced that testing had been completed on those kits that were slated for testing. The disparity between what Shimmel said and what I then later said is, in cases where it was consent and there had not been a crime solved. Those kits had been tested, that is true. But there were about 300 more kits that the Schimmel administration had agreed to test in cases where there was a conviction, but they hadn't yet tested those kits. So we got that done in my first year as AG. Now, there are still a number of kits in cases where the survivors did not consent to testing. Those kits have not been set for testing, nor will they be consistent with that principle I mentioned, which is only testing kits when the victim has consented.
Yeah, a quick follow-up if you can hear me.
Yep.
So how many cases have been charged as a result of the testing overall?
Yeah, I don't have a precise number offhand. It's on the website. But there are a handful of cases that resulted in convictions. And what I think is really notable is the significance of some of those convictions. So in one of the cases, a person named Matthew Crockett was convicted of offenses in Racine and Kenosha County, including three separate charges of, I believe, second degree sexual assault. He was sentenced then to 18 years in prison. And this is somebody who was free, who was on the street, who had not been identified. And it shows why it's so important to test these kits, and ideally to test them a lot faster than they were tested under Brad Schimmel, so that perpetrators can be identified and held accountable.
All right, and we have time for one more question, if anyone has one. All right, seeing none, I'll turn it over to you, Attorney General, if you have any closing thoughts.
No, just want to say thank you to everybody for joining us, and thanks for this opportunity to share some information about this. Take care.
Thanks.